Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight. I'm a realtor in Cajun country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents to find out how they've been able to achieve massive success in their business. My goal is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is Greg Goad with Goad Home Partners out of Atlanta, Georgia. So, Greg, man, thank you guys so much for being a part of the podcast, brother. Excited to hear your story.
Dude, thank you, Jamie. Thanks for having me on. You know, we're all a part of the Real family. And as we continue to grow as a national brokerage that is cloud-based, that we don't meet in offices, we meet digitally, and then we meet at conferences. And that's how we met.
Absolutely, dude. When I heard your story, man, at the conference, a little taste of it, I said, man, I've got to get a little bit more of this wild journey that you're on that got you to kind of where you are now. So I guess start by telling us like where you are now, a little bit about what areas that you serve, and then we'll get more into the backstory after
sure.
that and how you got where you are.
So I've been licensed since 2016. It's my wife and I. We are both licensed. We are Goad Home Partners. We are with Real. Been married to be 10 years this year. We've got two young children, Lily 7 and Sage 4. We live in a nice single family home in Cherokee County. We have a small little co-working space we work out of in downtown Woodstock. We mostly target Cherokee and Cobb County, but you know, our tagline is Marietta of the Mountains. So we go as far up to just the border of North Carolina. You know, we're a three-time elite agent with Real Broker. We've got two different YouTube channels, one that we run ads on for listing videos and one that has educational community facing content. And then we have a lot of fun on social media with TikTok and Instagram and even Facebook. So we've built a massive business, a massive following. Am I the top influencer? No, but I guarantee you when I go to downtown Woodstock and I get out of the car or I'm one wheeling through downtown Woodstock, like, oh, you're the guy that does the videos and rides the thing. I'm like, I'm the guy.
I love that, dude. That's awesome, man. I love the vibe and everything else that you kind of bring with it, brother. So that's part of what we want to hear, and we want to hear about how you be authentically yourself on some of your channels. But let's get back into the story, man. How did you come to where you are? And give us a little bit of the backstory, because I know you'd had some major challenges in your life that you've overcome.
We did.
So tell us, I guess, start wherever you want to start,
sure.
and we'll kind of go from there.
So, you know, growing up, my parents were separated and I ended up falling into addiction. And very early on, I got my first DUI at 17 years old, went to my first treatment at 19 years old, finally got sober at 22. My problem was every time I drank, I go to jail. that's just what happens, you know, nothing criminal, but it's just how the disease of alcoholism works. You know, kind of fast forward that tape, you know, I got sober in 2007. I was living in Northwest Atlanta, a little town called Roswell. I was going to 12-step meetings. I was growing a sober network. And then I met Lauren for the second time. We had dated a little while we were both in our kind of crazy days. She was a freshman in college at Georgia, and I was just passing through, just hanging out. When we reconvened after me being sober for a couple of years through the amends process, through the 12-step recovery, the 12 steps is what they call it, I owed her an amends and I did this amends. We ended up, you know, reconciling the friendship. She accepted. She said, hey, just keep being you, keep being sober, keep being, you know, love God, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I can do that. And just over the next couple of months, we kept talking. Then I finally got this wild idea that I would ask her out. I did, and it went well. You know, we ended up out west for a summer at Yellowstone National Park. We worked in Old Faithful Inn. I was a waiter the first summer. We moved back to Midtown Atlanta area. Shortly after, we moved to Cumberland Island, Georgia, worked on this island for a year. And then we went back out west. We ended up getting married in 2015. And we were actually coming back from our honeymoon. And we were living in a little town called Big Sky. It's a ski resort town west of Yellowstone National Park in Montana. We had flown into Bozeman and it's an hour drive home. We're halfway home and I look over and she is just sobbing, bawling. And I was like, what's wrong? We just had this amazing vacation. And she said that I'm homesick. I want to move back to Atlanta. And I was just kind of like, OMG Batman. I grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and the first time I went out west, I was 17, and I was bit by the bug. Like, man, the air's different. The people are different. Like, this is just such a wild place. So I was literally living the dream, you know, skiing 100 days a year, fishing 100 days a year, you know, fly fishing. And it was just, I was so enthralled in that community and that lifestyle, right? So for her to be upset and not want to raise a family in Big Sky, I was heartbroken, honestly. But I didn't get upset or anything like that. I was like, okay. And I was at a men's recovery retreat back in Georgia a couple months later. And I had ran into an old friend that I'd known since I got sober in 07. We peeled off after the Friday night speaker meeting. You know, we had the catch up, the 20-minute catch-up meeting, and he leans in and he says, so how are you? I just kind of threw up on him. I was like, hey, man, Lauren wants to move back. I don't know, and da-da-da-da. And he was like, so move back. Like, I was like, we're not supposed to say that, dude.
Yeah, that's not what
you're supposed to be
say.
On my side. And he was like, the next line is what really drew me, and he said, we need you, right? I'm a man of faith, and so is John. He's like, we need you in our church organization, and we need you in the recovery here. And that just, it was that invitation into community, and I was like, okay, you know? And it was as simple as that, like, the intuitive, like, my heart, and, like, I felt like the spirit was, like, moving into that, and it was just like, boom, done, you know? And the next question was like, so that was easy. I didn't think you would fold like that. And I was like, well, you had a great delivery, you know? And he said, you know, I've been in real estate for 16 years. I just started my own brokerage. You ever thought about real estate? I was like, man, I've had a couple people here and there say I would be a good agent, but that's about it. I was like, I don't know how it works. I don't know what it's like. You got to go to school. Like, I have no idea. And right. He was like, well, you know, you got to go through a school, go through a short little, you know, course, whether it's a 2-week immersion class or it's a, you know, 6-week every weekend class or it's an online deal. He was like, but you know, if this is something you'd like to pursue, I'd love to be a part of that. And I'd be happy to pay you a small salary the first year, which, as you know, is rare in our business. I've already got a client that's a hedge fund that we can get you trained very quickly and we can get you transacting as fast as possible. I was like, sounds good. Let's ride. You know, again, pretty easy. I was like, I've never done anything like that. Sounds, you know, it's different. I've done all kinds of stuff from, you know, food and beverage for 15 plus years to, you know, running a landscaping company to, you know, property management, valet work, parking cars for high-end resorts up in Montana. I've done all that, you know, so I was very in tune with customer service and people. So I wasn't scared of that part. I love people. I moved back and we got a license. I got licensed and I started working with John. And, you know, the first 2 years, man, I really learned how to transact because I was working with these hedge funds. So it was going out and finding the houses, plugging them into a spreadsheet, going to the inspection, negotiating with the other agent on the other side and getting these deals closed. After moving back in the communities I'm involved in with being in recovery, being with a church organization, and then later finding, you know, my love again for mountain biking and outdoor recreation, moving back. So I didn't have snow skiing and I didn't have a lot of the winter stuff that Big Sky has, you know, so I had to figure out like what's available locally. I found some local mountain bike shop that had a community group ride and I just started going, you know, not because I thought it would bring me business. It's because that's what I needed, right?
Right.
And I just started doing that. And that's how I got into real estate, you know? And that's when I really, the rubber met the road, because after being in those communities and being able to transact the way I was transact, as soon as I started working with people, like actual people, not a fund, I was able to serve at a different level, right? I was able to serve that client so much better, you know, because I was able to show up and be the hands and feet where they needed me to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, that's awesome. So when did the whole YouTube thing come to play in mm-hmm. your journey and how did that come about?
Yeah, so in 2020, I was serving with a program called Inside Out, which is the high school part of our church. And I was serving as a small group leader. I had a group of boys. And the way it works is you have them for 4 years, like the same group of dudes, right? You have the same group of boys the whole 4 years. And then, but there's also 200 other small group leaders. So it's another subset of community within the church body. one of the other guys, Chris Harden, who you may know, he's with us at Real as well, but he's more on the digital marketing side of real estate. He came to me one day. He's like, "You're in real estate, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, man." He was like, "We should grab coffee." He was like, "I think you'd be really good at this video thing. Have you ever heard of Brad McCollum?" And I was like, "Who?" No idea. No clue. So he pulls up Brad's YouTube page, shows it to me, shows me a listing video. And I'm like, "Well, that's different. That's pretty cool." He was like, "You think you could do that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know how we would produce it, but I could totally do that, what he's doing." So then, you know, I didn't really think too much about it at that point. But then, you know, I had this misconception in my mind. I was like, "Oh, I need a sexy listing." And at this point, I was handling a majority of buyers. I wasn't doing a lot of listings just yet, not like what we're doing today. Lo and behold, I got the opportunity, right? I get the call. It's a dear friend of mine in the recovery world. He's like, "My mom's got this beautiful custom home that's very unique and cool. She wants to sell it. Can you help her sell it?" And I was like, "Absolutely." He was like, "All right, I'm going to introduce you and you take it from there." So I set up a listing consult. It was out in West Georgia in a little town called Carrollton, a little over an hour and a half from me, which is a little far. And, you know, now like I probably wouldn't travel that far today. But at that point in my career, I was like, "Yes, absolutely. I'm there." You know, I go and I showed her one of Brad's videos. I said, "Hey, I want to do a video like this for this home." And she was like, "If you do that, I'll sign wherever you can charge me or whatever. Let's go." And I was like, "Okay." I didn't have a videographer. I didn't have any of that stuff. You know, I went out and I made some phone calls and I didn't get a call back from one guy. I got another call back from another guy and he wanted a huge exorbitant amount of money that I was not willing to spend, nor did I have at the time. Right. So my solution brain kicked in and I was like, "Okay, what do I need to do?" I was in this leadership development group at our church, and one of our leaders, his name is Jeremy Bruce, and he has a son that he was a volunteer with the production side at our church. So we're a part of the North Point Community Church System at Woodstock City Church. So we put everything live on YouTube. So any given, you go into the sanctuary, and it's a big stage with a lot of chairs and a full production setup, like audio, lights, smoke machine, guys running around with gimbals, big cameras, the whole nine yards. So I knew that his son was in this and I was like, "I wonder if he could do something like this." So I called Jeremy and he was like, "First off, I think he would crush this. This is his dad and seeing his capabilities. And second, I think he'd be honored to help you like put this together." And he was like, "I'm going to give you his number. Y'all connect." They're a big mountain bike family too. So instead of grabbing coffee or lunch, I was like, I just called him and set up a mountain bike ride. And we went mountain biking. I gave him my vision. I showed him, you know, one of Brad's videos. And he was like, "We 100% can do that. We're probably going to need another shooter, another camera guy to help us out. But I can get the equipment we need to make a full-on cinematic listing video." And I was like, "Run it." And we did. We went down. And granted, these guys were 17 and 18 years old. Right. They were young bucks, right? They're not even 21 years old. We shot the video. You know, it took them a little while to get it to me, but you know, it is what it is. They're young guys, right? They're still in high school. Right. They're still going to school Monday through Friday.
They just crushed their communications.
Yeah, pretty much. I finally get the file back in my hands and I'm not trained to post or any of that kind of stuff. And I really didn't know what I was doing, Jamie. I wasn't following a script. I wasn't following a how-to video or a YouTube group. I wasn't following any of that stuff. I created a YouTube channel and I posted it and I put it on my Facebook page and posted it, not really knowing what was going to happen. And over the course of a week, we had over 60,000 people like it on Facebook and view it. Then we had 17,000 on YouTube. And this was during COVID, right? So,
dude, love
it
that.
It was pretty crazy. What happened is the light bulb went on in my head, and it was like, okay, you just filled a basketball arena, an NBA basketball arena, in a matter of 7 days, and then my business side started to kick in. Like, how can we utilize video in everything that we do? And then the second part of that, which was like the huge eye opener, and this is where the authenticity comes in that you were talking about earlier. In that video, I wasn't dressed like your run of the mill typical agent would that you would see on a billboard. You know, most of the time you see billboards, it's a professional shot guy, suit, tie, clean cut. I was wearing a flat bill hat, a flannel shirt, skinny jeans, and hey dudes, walking out of a coffee shop, hopping on a one wheel, and riding through downtown Carrollton up the front porch of this beautiful home and doing this crib style walkthrough video. And what I realized is I was just me, right?
Love that.
Like any other day, like I was out showing property, 9 times out of 10, that's what I'm wearing. I'm laid back. But I've brought that mountain lifestyle and that mountain vibe back to like where we live. And we're really not that far from the mountains either. We're an hour from the mouth of the Appalachian Trail. So we're right at the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. So I still get to play in the mountains. They're just not the Rocky Mountains. What I started doing is I stopped wearing suits. You know, I was wearing suits to every closing and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't me. And, you know, I didn't wear blazers to listing consults or any of that kind of stuff. And I was like, why am I falling into this comparison trap of I've got to be like all these other agents that I think I need to be like, and, you know, I've got to drive the Porsche and I've got to have the fancy car and I've got to have all, you know, this whole like, you know, persona that we think we need to do. And I just let go of it. I've just leaned into like who I am, you know. I'm a guy who likes to have a lot of fun and I'm very relational, you know, and I think that comes through in a lot of the content that I put out there.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. And so let's talk about a little bit more of like the hyper local stuff too, because I follow you on Instagram and love catching videos and stuff like that. So let's talk about Instagram for a little minute, because you've been able to grow that out to a pretty nice size and you've been able to generate quite a bit of business from that. But I see a lot of the local content and what you're putting out. So talk to us a little bit about your strategy there on Instagram.
Yeah. So Instagram or any social media for that regards, and this is how I thought of it, is Instagram or social media is like music television, MTV, right? What was MTV in the late 80s, early 90s, right? It was just music videos. Like that was it. That was its purpose. Well, sometime in the 90s, they came up with The Real World, right? Next, it was Road Rules. Then it was Robin Biggs, that stuff. And then it was, you know, Carson Daly's, you know, afternoon hits or whatnot. What I realized is like, okay, I'm the channel. I need to figure out TV shows. I need to figure out content buckets for my channel. And the content buckets have changed over time. And we're even in a process now of pivoting our strategy. Right now, what's working is I do vlog style storytelling videos about local places that I enjoy and love, you know, whether it be a local coffee shop, a mountain bike trail system. For example, like we did one with a coffee shop not too long ago in Atlanta and it did extremely well. And it's having people in like when you create this content. And here's the other piece that we can get a little bit more granular, a little bit more technical. You know, a lot of times we do, you know, we do a hook, we do a content, and then we do a call to action at the end, right? That's what we've seen a lot of people do. I've been my third year of coaching with a real estate coach, and the first 2 years I was with a big program. But last year I let go of that program and I joined another coach, and he's very content driven and focused. So him and I are helping curate like my content. And he says, hey, let's not put the CTA at the end. Let's do it in the first quarter of the video. So what I'm doing in the first quarter of all my videos now is, hey, if you like this style of content, follow me. I'll follow you back. That's it. Not, hey, Greg, I'm a real estate agent or anything like that. Just, hey, follow me back, right? Because what's happening is, and this is working. Once I'm in your pocket, as you know, I post every day, right? You're going to see me, right? No matter what. So, you know, when I get those follows, because it's like every post isn't, my buckets of content aren't real estate related, except one of them is going to be neighborhood tours that I just do with my phone, right? When I have the special listing, I get the videographer. I can justify spending good money on a very well-produced video that I will put out on YouTube and Facebook and all the places. And we can put out really fun reels, right? But with Instagram, that's the strategy that's working right now, right? It's doing this And I'll tell you this also, the well-produced stuff is not performing as well as the stuff that I just produce on my phone.
I love that.
The stuff I'm doing on my phone, it's more personable. It's a little bit more real. It's less polished. I think people resonate with it more, it seems.
Yeah, because people use that as an excuse, right? They use that as an excuse to not start the process of doing YouTube or doing Instagram or doing a daily reel or doing a video at a place because they think they need this camera crew and this lighting setup and all this other stuff. And then that prevents them just in that obstacle instead of just getting your phone out and just being like, hey, man, I'm at my favorite coffee shop. Yeah. Check this out. This, you know, she's behind the counter. She smiled, you know, whatever. Just going authentic with it, which I
know.
Love that.
I know a local agent in Sarah McClowski, and she's got a massive YouTube channel. She's done extremely well. She shoots nothing with a professional camera. She shoots it all on her iPhone.
Yeah, I love that.
That's crazy, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. That's great to hear that you're having the success with the not-so-well-produced stuff because, man, I'm a big fan of just getting out there and just doing it, man. Even something that gets done is better than something that's perfect that doesn't get out.
100%. As Tim Macy always says, get the terrible video out of the way.
Yeah, man. I like it. I was on a big mastermind with Tim Macy and Jeremy Knight and all those guys a couple days ago, man. Those
guys awesome. I have the recording of that. I was actually at an appointment during that time. I couldn't make it. And this is a good thing to talk about too. I was in a what we call a float session. And what that entails is it's a sensory deprivation tank. Are you familiar with these?
Dude, that sounds awesome.
So what it is, it's sometimes they're pods, sometimes they're little cubes. The one that's local to me at this little salon that we go to, it's a little cube with a shower door in the front of it, like a big glass. And the air is the same temperature as the water, and the water is hyper dense with Epsom salt. So it's got a huge concentration of magnesium. So when you get in it, you're buoyant, like you're floating, right? And because the air temperature and the water temperature is the same, you don't know what's what. It's wild. And you can do it a couple different ways at this specific place. You can have ambient light that changes, or you can have ambient sounds too, like Zen, like yoga type, Eastern medicine type music, or like the twilight.
Some 311 on in there.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that would work too well for that vibe. But you know what's funny is I was listening to 311 before I walked up to my office.
I love that. That's something that you and I have in common.
Yeah, love 311. They're my party music, man. Whenever I'm in like a party mood, like they're my like, yes, let's go. Like, let's rock. Let's get it done. But I was in one of those sessions and, you know, I wasn't able to meet that mastermind. But it's like I schedule that stuff into my daily and my weekly. You know, I schedule, you know, sessions like that, self-care. I schedule mountain bike rides for myself in my calendar where nobody can take that time from me. It's not just life-giving for me, but it's like when it's life-giving for me, I'm able to give more. I'm able to show up for Lauren. I'm able to show up for my kids. I'm able to show up for my clients better. And it's like, I always know when I have the itch, because I call it, I just need to go get the lead out. It's finding those things that I can do that gets the lead out, you know, on a regular basis.
Dude, love that. So talk to us a little bit more about Real Broker, man, because I'm about a year and a half or so into it, man. Tell us about kind of the community that you joined and what that meant to you whenever you first joined, and how did it come about that you joined us here at Real?
Yeah, so it started with, I got an Instagram direct message from Bob Tompkins. Bob says, hey, would you like to hop on a call? Little backstory, you know. I started listening to him and Brad's podcast when they were doing it regularly. They are both at Remax, but man, they were just, I was all in on whatever they were sharing because I was like, they're talking about the video stuff. They're talking about what was working. They were talking about tactics that I was utilizing in my business real time. And I'd never met him directly. I'd never talked to him on the phone. I just kind of looked at him at afar. To get reached out like that, I was like, oh, well, yes, I will. I most certainly will hop on a call with you, sir. We started chatting and he was like, you know, I asked him, I was like, dude, y'all are both with Remax, like, why? And he was like, actually, we're actually looking at moving our entire, both of us, over to this cloud-based brokerage. And that was why we wanted to talk to you. We're trying to grow a network of media-driven agents on a national level to help and grow together and collaborate in the video space, in media marketing. And I was just like, well, that's different, you know? Yeah. And I have no experience with big box brokerage or like any of the brick and mortar brokerage. I have zero experience with that. My best friend's my broker, right? So like, I don't butt heads with my broker. I don't have a terrible split. We don't have any hidden fees. We don't have a lot of the stuff that a lot of agents get. They get beat up on, you know, early on, you know, or they get tired of, or they get squeezed. So they're sharing all this stuff with me. I'm like, man, it'd be really tough for me to leave John. You know, he's given me so much. I love him. He's like a brother to me. You know, we had a couple more video calls and calls with Brad. And one day I was sitting down with some mountain bike buddies. It was two engineers and a CPA. And I'm the dumbest one in the room as the sales guy. Right. And I tell him, I was like, guys, I need y'all's point of view. I've got this decision. I've got this opportunity to go potentially work at this other brokerage and hang my license there. Told him about, you know, Real. I told him about the split and the cap and the stock and the rev share. And I told him about all that stuff. And the CPA looks at me and he says, so what was your volume? Just so we can kind of look at the numbers a little bit. And I told him at the time I was selling like 25 houses a year. He was like, well, you're clearly going to make more money over at this Real place. You know, he was like, what are you scared of? And that kind of hit me. I was like, oh. And what it was, Jamie, is I was scared of success, right? I was standing in my own way. I went home that night. I didn't even call Bob or Brad or anybody. I went home. I signed up and said, who's your sponsor? I said, Bob Tompkins, let's go. You know, at that time, Brad wasn't over yet because Canada wasn't open. You know what I love about Brad is like he's gained this really big celebrity status in the real estate space. But like when we get together, we don't talk about any of that. We usually find a way to go one wheeling or go do something fun, you know, and that's what I love about our relationship is that. But so I joined, you know, and I remember telling Bob one day when I was like, man, you know, I'll cap, but I don't know about this elite agent thing. I don't know if that's in the cards for me.
Absolutely.
And you know, what happened was I had never been to a real estate conference or an event or a mastermind. I didn't know about any of that. That was all foreign to me. This was all brand new. So I started going to these things and I started learning and I started collaborating and I started implementing, which I think is the biggest thing is like, okay, you can only hear so much, but you gotta do. Just like you said, you just gotta pull out the phone and do it. I started doing some of these things and, you know, the first year came up and I hit a lead agent. It was
that's awesome.
Whoa, that's crazy.
That's a huge goal.
And then a second year and then a third year, you know, so we've continued to grow upon that, you know, and when we do that, what happens is, as you know, if you cap hit a lead agent and you teach a course in Real Broker, you can make up to $24,000 in stock every year gifted to you. Right now it's got a 3-year vesting period. When I joined, it was 90 cents a share. I think roughly today we're in the $5 range, right? I try not to track it every day because I can get too excited about it, right? Or bummed that it went down, you know? In April, it'll be 4 years for me. And it's like, and I've actually had to go into that fund and like pull money for like emergencies. Like I had an instance where we bought a second home in Augusta a couple years ago. We closed, and after the deal, we got a call from the insurance agency and said the roof's too old and the shed out back needs to be torn down. And we had just put all of our capital into buying this piece of investment property in Augusta. You know what we were able to do? I looked at my stock count and I was like, Lauren, I think we can just use some of this money in here and do it. And we did. And I was like, That was wild. That was crazy. And then last year, you know, we ran into an issue where we tried something that didn't work out and we ended up racking up some credit card debt. You know what we were able to do? I was able to log into that account, look at it and go, well, we can just pay it all off right now. So we did. Even today, there's still $250,000 sitting in that account over a almost 4-year period. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's wild. And it's, and it, we also opt in on the stock account too. Like, you know, we can talk a little bit more about that. So I always tell everybody that partners with me at Real, they always ask me that question. Hey, should I do the stock thing? I'm like, absolutely. Yes, yes, and yes. You're not going to miss it. And it's just going to grow.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
And I'm glad I have, because, you know, we've got a nice little nest egg that's sitting in there. And if you look at the wealth accumulation plan that's in our RealZen app, hey, in 4 years, 5 years, you know, we're gross to have an asset of over $4 million. I'm like, holy smokes, what? Like, yeah, that, dude, you know, awesome. And that's just the nuts and bolts of the program or the brokerage, right? Of the stock side. You know, let's get into the rev share side too, where it's like, okay, so you start attracting agents over that, you know, that you want to help, that you've brought over, that you're introducing to this culture and this community. And that's the secret sauce, in my opinion. It was the people and the rooms that I got into. It was the people that were for me. It was the people that were encouraging me and the people showing me what they were doing in real time, right? And once we started to develop those relationships, it was like drinking water from a fire hose, man. Like, I couldn't get enough. You know, I couldn't open my mouth wide enough to get so much water in, just because I was just loving all this collaboration that was happening, you know, within our brokerage, you know, from the masterminds like Katie and Tim put on, and Ray Ellen, that's their thing on Monday or on Tuesdays. And then Katie and Bob are Monday, right? So these are two masterminds that happen weekly.
Even like you said, with the collaboration, man, like Jeremy Knight's texting me, you know, the guy's, you know, he's got a great YouTube channel, and, you know, I ask him a question, man, he's like, no problem. Spent 45 minutes on the phone with me the other day talking about agents.
You've got a high producer You got a high producer making 7 figures a year, and he's happy to get on the phone with you and share exactly what he's doing.
Dude, that's the part that blows me away, man. Yeah. And texting me, making sure I'm gonna be at the mastermind, and
that's right.
And dude, what did you think about that? What did you think about that? Like, dude, that's the kind of crazy part, is like, you go to the national convention and everybody's like, man, like, here's my playbook, you know, like, just open it up. Here it is. I'm not hiding anything from you, because you're gonna do better than that at me, you know, than me. And it's like, just super sweet, man. So that's been the part that I've been really enjoying through this whole process. And me just 1 year in, again, I thought the same thing, like, elite agent was never gonna be for me, but before the end of the year I hit elite agent, dude. So it was like kind of crazy. My first year I was like, there's no way I can hit this goal. But the same thing, man, when I opened my stock account up, when it hit, I was like, dude, what? Like, it was shocking. Just after 1 year, it was insane.
Yeah. No, so it's pretty cool, man. And like I said, we go to, and it's like, right now I'm working with two different clients that are referral clients from agents at Real. And these weren't ones that were put on a referral network. These are ones that just reached out to me directly and says, hey, I've got a seller, I've got a buyer, they're in this area, do you work this area? And I say, yes. And boom, right? We've got somebody in the pipeline. Because, and this is, I think, a caveat for anybody that's listening, that's thinking about making the jump or making the move, and like, all that stuff sounds like Cadillac pimping. Let's go. You know, like, that all sounds fantastic. But if you don't go to the masterminds, and you don't go to the in-conference stuff, and you're just trying to hop on the referral network every time somebody posts something, you're going to leave frustrated, right? And a lot of times they're frustrated for guys like me, because I do have a wide network of people that know who I am, right? But that's because I go to the conferences, I go to the masterminds. I am very outgoing to the point where it's like, hey, I want to meet as many people in our company as possible so we can grow this thing. And I think once agents understand the collaboration piece, something clicks in our head, and we realize that, like, the same client that's going to work with Susie is not going to want to work with me, and the same client that wants to work with me doesn't want to work with Susie. So I think we have to get out of that victim mindset, that scarcity mindset. And I think having the right mindset in our business is so crucial to where you want to go, right? Because I'll tell you, at the end of the day, I hear a lot of people blaming the market and blaming the interest rate and blaming something, right? They're playing the blame game. But here in Georgia, we're an attorney state. You can go down to any closing attorney across the entire city of Atlanta, Georgia, and right now, every slot the entire day is booked with closings. People are buying and selling real estate. But what we have to figure out is, how do I become the person that they call, right? It's, you know, death, divorce, diamonds, babies, relocation, retirement, downsize, all those things, right? So it's being the person people want to go to when that stuff happens, because that stuff's ultimately going to happen no matter what. You know, I think it was it last year, 2 years ago, I did like 3 probate transactions, right? And what that means is they had a loved one pass in the family, and we had to go through a process through probate to list a house or buy a house. It's like you're dealing with someone who's had a traumatic loss in their life. And it's like, who are they going to go with? The guy on the billboard or the guy that they're doing life with and that they know they're going to get the right treatment that they deserve? You know, so it's finding that and being able to switch that on and realize that, you know, it's not about the market. It's not about the interest rate. It's all about the people. And as soon as people realize you're for them, the whole thing will change.
At the core of the podcast, man, we're here for agents, right? So
right.
Tell us something encouraging for agents right now that might have had a tough 2024. They're maybe off to a slow start in 2025, man. Give them a little bit of an encouragement, and then we're going to close it out.
Sure. So any agents that have had issues of scarcity in their business, what I would do is, your next deal is in your phone already. It's not out on the street. It's not in another networking group. It's not in another masterclass. That person's in your phone right now. You need to lean into the people you already know, love, and trust. And as you lean into those relationships, the business will come. But the relationships have to come first. So I do something where I call it Love 60, and I have a list of my favorite local 60 people, friends, family, all that stuff. And I treat those 60 people like I'd go over and beyond to build. And those 60 people are people that I want to grow with spiritually, physically, and emotionally, right? So I would say to anybody that's struggling in that regard is, lean into the people you already know, because they might not need to buy or sell a house. But when they know what you do and you have that relationship with them, they're your biggest fan. It's not a, oh, you should interview Jamie. No, you need to go with Jamie because Jamie took care of me when my mom passed away. And he was amazing to work with. And he did an amazing job. That's the come list me call, right?
Absolutely.
That's not an interviewing call. So that's my message to any agent that's just getting started, or they're, you know, they've had a tough time. Like, dude, lean into the people you know. And I think mindset's such a big thing too. It's like, stop blaming everything and find a way to connect to your head or your heart.
Yeah, dude. Love that, man. Well, Greg, thank you so much, brother, for being a part of it, man.
You're welcome.
It means the world. So fun to hang out with you a little bit at the convention, but now it's awesome to kind of chat with you sometimes on the phone, man, get some encouragement, man, talk shop a little bit and catch you on masterminds and that kind of stuff, man. So it's fun to kind of sit down with you virtually, brother. Man, thanks again, dude. So
you're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, look, we're going to put Greg's contact information in the podcast information, and y'all feel free to reach out to him, man. Go follow him on Instagram. He'll follow you back, like he said.
Yeah.
And do us a favor and like and share this with somebody that you know. Give us a great review. We really appreciate you guys listening in every week. So all the best, you guys, and I hope that you have an amazing day.